welcome to A Drummer's Guide 2, the podcast all about the things it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument. I'm kind of taking that as a given at this point, although we can always be better, let's face it. So today I'd like to go over a concept, basically. It's a concept that I've made up, and it's something that I was chatting to a mate recently, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna talk about this. Also, when I was doing the Drummer's Odyssey camp a few weeks ago, I kind of spoke to the students about this, and I feel like it's quite a relevant concept, maybe. So it's something that I call feathers and cogs. And now there's a very small contingent of people that are listening to me right now that's going, feathers and cogs, isn't that that one woman show that you put on like almost 10 years ago now? Yes, it was. It was, but the concept was actually was the same. The concept of the show was the same as this concept that I'm going to explain now. So feathers and cogs is kind of, like I say, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. It's completely abstract, I'll give you that, but it's this idea of, you know, when you see someone like on social media, a musician or whatever, and they're playing, or maybe you're seeing them at a gig or whatever, and they're playing just so beautifully and effortlessly, and everything's flowing. Those to me are the feathers. Those kind of like, they're beautiful, they're in the wind, they're kind of just floating around, and you know, it's a lovely, lovely thing. Whenever I talk about this, I always think about the, you know, that scene in American Beauty where there's the carrier bag that is kind of floating around, and the guy that's filming it and is very artsy and da 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 da. And then Family Guy did a parody of it, of just going, dude, it's a carrier bag. Like, that's it. It's because God's looking down going, it's just a carrier bag in the wind. Do you have any idea how complicated your nervous system is? Something like that. And I think that's really funny. Anyway, that's what always comes into my head when I think about this feather kind of floating around in the ether. But to me, those are those beautiful moments that you kind of see when someone's playing their instrument so brilliantly. They're very in the moment, they're very present, and it all just seems perfect, right? And those are the bits that we see, the feathers. However, there are these cogs. Now, these cogs are all the bits that none of us see. It's all these cogs that have been forged through like hard work, frustration, like hours and hours and hours of like practice, and tons of failures and tons of lessons, and all the bad bits that no one sees. And it's this sort of collection of cogs that have meticulously not just been forged, but then actually been put together and made sure that they're working all perfectly, they're oiled every day. And these are the bits that we don't see, the nasty, ugly inner workings, basically. So yeah, I just want to talk about that, basically, and what that kind of, what the daily cog maintenance, if you like, look like for me, that facilitate the kind of the feathers that you may see from me on social media, for instance, or on a gig. And yeah, that I just thought it's an interesting concept. Now, the reason that I kind of thought I would talk about this, like I say, was partly because of the Drummer's Odyssey camp and just talking to the students there, and it seemed to resonate with people. Like, they seemed to really be like, oh yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Also, I was talking to a mate of mine, and he was saying about a book that he read recently called Chop Wood, Carry Water. And it's a very similar concept. And basically, just to do a short summary, I'll probably butcher it, so apologies. It's about this guy who goes to train as an archer in a Buddhist temple, maybe not a Buddhist temple, a Japanese kind of samurai place, I don't know, like I say, I'm butchering this. Anyway, he goes to go and do this training, and he wants to be this archer, and when he gets there, the guy who is training him is basically saying, look, you'll learn all that, but you need to just worry about chopping wood and carrying water, basically the everyday things that you have to do to give yourself the discipline to do stuff, you know, the things that need to be done. And the whole sketch of this book is kind of like, it's in the boring things, it's in the mundane, monotonous things where the success lies. It's not in the big moments. You know, the big moments are kind of a result of these smaller moments that, again, nobody sees. And I read this and I just thought, you know what, that's true, because you could get a call for a gig, for instance, and unless you've done the work already up front, if you're not ready for it, you're not gonna be able to get the skills that you need in the time frame that you have, in terms of, like, you know, if it's like, right, going into rehearsals in a week and you don't have the physical capabilities to play the songs that you need to play. Not only are you not going to get that in a week, but you're certainly not going to be playing in a way that is confident and purposeful and make everyone feel safe and do a good job, essentially. That's all we're here to do, do a good job. You will have had to have done years of practice and groundwork and, you know, practicing in a windowless room, probably, listening to thousands upon thousands of songs, playing along to thousands upon thousands of songs, spending thousands upon thousands of hours getting frustrated with things that your body can't do, but you want to do, your mind wants to do, or your ears want to do, and working through that in your own time. And like I say, just kind of calibrating those cogs within you so that when that feather rocks up and you get that call, you're like, I'm ready. And then it's just about honing the specific things that you need to know to be on that gig, to do that job. Now, this is something, like I say, that I think I've always done in varying degrees. I will say I've not been great at being consistent at it, but it's a work in progress, as is life. And I'm on a new train of thought I wanted to share with you. And this is because I was thinking about, I'm very... what's the word? Analytical, I suppose. And I like to know why I'm not doing things, or like why things aren't working for me. I appreciate, you know, things are hard. They're meant to be hard. If they were easy, everyone would be doing them. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm also very aware that I'm sure that there's always a better way to do something. So I do reflect often on what's working for me, what's not working for me. I'm going to be citing a lot of books that I've read, and I'm also going to be butchering a lot of books that I've read. So there was this, I noticed that there's particular parts of my day and particular things that I should be doing regularly that I really struggle with. One of those things is keeping on top of emails. Now, anyone that has ever been in touch with me over email knows this to be true, and I apologize to you right now. I am the worst with email. It's one of my least favorite things to do, which is crazy because I love connecting with people, but I suppose it's because I do put everything into my replies. I don't just give a one-liner. I'm like, no, I care. I want to give you me. I want to give you everything I can. So it takes quite a toll on me, I'll be honest. And I've sort of gotten better with it. I've incorporated using video replies, which has really helped me loads. I really want to incorporate using voice note replies, but I'm still working on how exactly to do that. I haven't delved that far into it, to be honest. So if anyone is already doing voice notes as replies, please do shout me, because I'd love to hear how you do that in an effective way, like not too many moving parts, basically. I've actually started doing it on Instagram as well, replying with voice notes. So much easier. I really like it, apart from the 1 minute time limit, but maybe that's a good thing, because as you know, I can talk. Anyway, a book that I read that made me think about this was something called Eat That Frog. And I can't remember who it's by. I mean, it's a fairly old book, but the concept of this is very, very simple. And that is, do the hardest thing first. Now, it's a really interesting concept, because previously I was following the train of thought that you should do your most creative things first thing, or no, let me rephrase, your most creative things when you feel at your best during the day, because obviously everyone has different circadian rhythms and how they roll. Again, another book, what's it called? Why We Sleep? I think that's what it's called. Great book, really interesting. Love it. Highly recommend that. It's a bit more, it's quite, it cites a lot of academic studies, which I love. So it's a bit heavy to start with, but when you sort of get through it, it's really interesting, and just about the fact that we are all wired differently. We all do have times of the day, and this is a thing from back in the day. Like, this is an evolutionary response. We have times of the day that we are at our best. We have times that we want to sleep that are natural to our bodies, and just noticing that is quite interesting, and I found it very useful. You might not, I have. That's that. So anyway, the previous train of thought that I had about that, where I got it, I can't even remember where I heard about this train of thought. I have a feeling it was from a podcast called The Six Figure Home Studio, which is now called The Six Figure Home Creative, if you want to go check that out. Very good podcast, very interesting. It's about business and running a business as a creative. Very interesting. Brian and Chris, wonderful hosts, wonderful humans. But I remember them talking about, and again, I don't know whether this is the first time I heard it, but I remember them talking about, right, when you feel at your best, which is for me, first thing, not first thing, not too early, basically post coffee, then I'm kind of like, I'm rolling. Anyway, that was my best time of day. So for me, I would previously get all my creative things done. So things like recording this podcast, for instance, that absolutely would be a first thing. Doing recordings for people, that is a first thing. Or recording for Drum Stem Club, that's a first thing. But what that would mean is I would often expend all of my energy, because this is the other thing they said, you know, and then when you're feeling at a lower ebb, then maybe you do more admin-y type stuff, which obviously emails. And I would try that. But by the time, like I say, by the time I had expended all my creative energy, I'd lost all my energy. And I've spoken about this before. I'm a very hyper-focused person. So when I do something, I'm fully in. Like, I'm just, this is the only thing I'm thinking about. It's so useful. It's such a useful thing that it's just the way that I'm wired, luckily. But what comes with that is extreme fatigue as well. Because it's just the concentration is so extreme, and I don't notice that it's happening until it's too late, and then suddenly I'm like, oh god. And I have physical reactions. Like, I feel physically sick. I'm not actually sick or anything, but like, I feel physical pain, and yeah, I just know when I've overdone it, and it's like, oh no. Like, I know that not the rest of the day's a write-off, but it's a struggle. And when I'm feeling like that, the last thing that I want to be doing is something that I inherently don't enjoy. So I've decided to flip it round, and I've decided to go with this kind of eat that frog concept of doing the things that I find hardest first. So that means for me just taking a block of time, first thing I do when I come into the studio, I answer emails. Like I say, it's still early days, but so far it feels really good to get the thing done that is hardest for me. So anyway, I'd like to also share with you the kind of different things that I do daily, or try to do daily. Look, I'm not perfect. I miss out on stuff. Like, sometimes I'm just too exhausted, and I kind of have been trying to really listen to my body when it comes to things like that. Yes, I do push through sometimes, because at the end of the day, like, sometimes you've got to battle against whatever you're feeling. But I do try and honor that as well. I try, there's a balance. I'm not great with balance. I feel like you know this about me by now. But I'm trying. That's the main thing. I'm trying. So yeah, there's kind of like three main areas that I like to try and hit every day for me. So the first one is like my skill set. I'm always trying to up my skills in everything that I do. It's not only is it useful, I think for me, I love it. I love being stretched, I love being challenged, I love growing. Like, I've always loved it. I always have. Sometimes, like I said, I can overdo it. In that respect, I do try and curb it in terms of like time and energy, because again, I can hyper focus, I go down rabbit holes, And before I know it, it's been 4 hours. I haven't eaten. And then that thing of like suddenly going, oh my God, I feel really unwell. Like I haven't drunk any water for 4 hours. And like, oh, and the rest of my days are right off. So for me, what that looks like at the moment is kind of just like 30 minutes of playing, like 30 minutes of doing free play, or it, like I try to play every day basically. So that could be working, so recording for someone if I don't do that 30 minutes a day, or just doing something behind the drums, or maybe it's something to do with like the physicality of recording, or something based around that kind of skill set, or like my business, learning a new skill to help with running my business or help mentoring people or wherever else. I've just realized as well, actually, I'm studying a psychology degree, so doing a bit of that every day as well. So I'm always expanding my knowledge in some area. And like I say, ideally that would be on the drums as well as in my brain, but sometimes the day doesn't allow for that for whatever reason, depending on work, depending on, well, a multitude of factors. I'm sure you've got a million factors of your own that sort of come into that. So that's kind of the skill set side of it. And like I say, if it can be physically playing, that makes me happy. Like it really does, because at the end of the day, that's where my heart lies. Like, I love the drums so much. They're so good to me. I hope that I'm good to them. And yeah, there's a mutual respect there for the drums and what the drums have afforded me in my life in so many ways, in so many ways. So anyway, that's kind of the skill things that I like to do every day in terms of chopping wood and carrying water. And again, sometimes it is dull and sometimes it's hard. In fact, a lot of the time it's hard and it's dull and it's going through the motions and it's a lot of like, oh, why am I doing this? Like I'm not progressing, or you know, this just feels so blah, or maybe I just don't feel like it. Maybe I just don't feel like playing. But I guarantee you, when I sit down after about 5 minutes of just going through the motions of like, I really don't want to be doing this, I often find myself either enjoying it, in fact often enjoying it, and also often finding interesting things in my playing that maybe I wouldn't have done had I been feeling good about it, like coming into it. So I think that that's a really interesting concept, because everything is affected by right now, this moment right now. And I think just leaning into that is really, I don't know, I find it interesting, maybe you don't. So anyway, those are the kind of skill cogs that I try to hone every day. In terms of my business cogs, at the end of the day, you know, this is my job and there is a business aspect to my daily life. I also do things every day. Again, this, I think, it's not that this is the weakest area for me, but I think the most mundane part of the day-to-day business stuff, that's the bit that I really struggle with. And that for me is replying to emails, replying to messages on like Instagram. I mean, I'll be honest, I've completely given up on Facebook. I'm so sorry if you've messaged me at all, probably in the last like 5 years on Facebook. I struggle with that. It's not the one. If you wanna message me on any social media, go for Instagram, it's your best bet. And email is an even better bet. There's a button on my Instagram to go to my email. but yeah, I'm trying to get better at that, because I like, it's so logical that your business, your career is only like, it's only as strong as your weakest link, which obviously is a very cliche thing to say, but it's true. If people are reaching out to me and going, look, either I want one-on-one mentoring with you, or I want you to record on a song for me or an album for me, or you know, I want you to come on this tour, if I'm not good at staying on top of my emails and replying to people, what am I doing? It's so simple, and yet I find it so blooming difficult, so blooming difficult, that I almost swore, but I vowed to myself I would not swear on this podcast, because I want everyone to be able to listen to it. I don't want anyone's parents to be like, oh, you can't listen to Emily, she swears. Side note, in real life, I swear way too much and I apologize. But anyway, yeah, so I'm just trying to be really aware that the most direct way for me to be working, essentially, is through replying to emails. You know, these days I rarely get phone calls. That's not usual. Maybe messages like texts or whatever, or WhatsApps, but you know, the majority of my work comes through email. And yet, I just can't get that daily thing in. But I'm trying, so it's fine. I'm eating that frog. First thing, emails. So, I mean, look, you can hold me accountable. You can see how I'm doing. If I still haven't replied to you, I think I'm a month and a half behind in my inbox right now. I know. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. But I've always said that I will try and be as open and as honest and as vulnerable with you guys as I physically can, because I think it's important. I don't have everything together. I don't think anyone does. And I think it's good to just share the bits that are definitely lacking. In terms of the business side of stuff also, things like social media, I appreciate how important those things are for me. So I make sure that I do sort of post every day, and whether that's posting on my Instagram feed or on TikTok, or whether I'm posting on stories, it's for me the and I've done episodes on this before, the importance of social media for me is just being top of mind for people. So if someone is looking for a drummer for something, or if someone is seeking out some sort of guidance in terms of their career, or maybe they're struggling with their remote recording business or whatever else, you know, if they're in that moment of struggle and they log onto Instagram and there I am, as I am often, because I post way too much and I apologize, it's a lot, but it works because there's my name, and then they're going, oh yeah, I'll get Emily to do that actually, yeah, that makes sense. So also subconsciously, I'm sure that there's something in that. But anyway, that's how I see social media. Social media I find a little easier because I think I've just been doing it consistently for so long, and I kind of have a lot of systems in place that make it easier. I'm very into finding friction points and kind of eliminating them as best I can. And again, it goes back to this email thing. The main friction point is exhaustion and just like, whew. So I eliminate that now by putting it first on my to-do list, which I really struggle with. I tell you what it is. Sorry, I can't get off this email thing. What it is my fear, and look, I'm just gonna have to do it and see and prove myself wrong, like an experiment, is that I'm worried that if I do emails first thing, I'm going to expend all of my energy doing that and not be able to do anything all day. But as I'm saying that, I also have realized in this moment, in this very moment, that if I'm doing creative stuff first, I've already said that that could wear me out also. So what's the difference? The difference is my business is running better. Yeah, okay, the creative stuff is fun. Of course I want to be doing the creative stuff, but if that's exactly the point, isn't it? The creative stuff probably should be the reward. It's like doing this right now. I've done my emails and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be ruined for recording this episode. I don't feel ruined at all. I feel great. This is awesome. I'm going to play after this as well. I think I'm going to be a little bit tired for playing. I'm not going to lie to you, but I'll still do it because I'm here. I'm in the room. The drums are right there. Why would I not do that? Doesn't make sense not to do it, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's another thing. I do like stacking things up so that it kind of, it makes more sense to do it than to not do it, if that makes any sense to you. So anyway, that's my sort of second bucket, if you like, of things to do, like cogs. My second bucket of cogs in terms of business stuff. So we've covered the skills, skill set cogs, and then the business cogs. And then the third one is the self, the looking after myself cogs. These were for so long, I mean, I'd love to tell you they were all rusted, they weren't working properly. Mate, they didn't even exist to some degree. So I'm forging at the moment. I'm still forging and I'm still calibrating those cogs, definitely. But I am getting better, I will say, and I'm very proud of myself for that. And what that means for me is things like doing exercise, which at the moment, oh my gosh. So I recently started doing boxing classes. Honestly, I think they've changed my life. I have never, I've never enjoyed exercise. I've done it with a means to an end, which is basically so I can do my job better. That's what it's been. That's the reality. It's the only motivation I've ever had to exercise. It's like, it's never to do with, like, whenever people talked about enjoying exercise, I was like, you are, no. There's no, like, you're lying to me. You're actually lying to my face right now. However, since I started doing this boxing class, it is so much fun. I just can't even begin to tell you. And it's so interesting. Since I started doing it and talking to other musicians about it, turns out there's a lot of musicians, specifically drummers, who also absolutely adore boxing. Also, weirdly, a lot of boxers that I've met really want to try drums. And I think that there's like a definite crossover there. It's really interesting. I'm finding it so fascinating. But again, it for me, it's the joy of actually doing it, which I love. Turns out, love hitting people, you know, when we're padding or whatever. Also, really enjoy being hit. Strange thing that I've learned about myself. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that says about me. Feel free to psychoanalyze me as much as you like. But the other thing is that because I'm such a newbie at it, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm learning so much and I love it. As I've already said before, anything that has me stretched and learning and all that stuff, it just makes me so happy. So I am having so much fun. I mean, I'm training like 3, sometimes 4 times a week right now. And if I miss a day, I'm like, well, no, maybe not a day. I kind of have a day off. But when I have 2 days off, that second day, I'm like, I need to box. So yeah, I'm in love with it completely. Before that, I was doing walking, which I love walking still. I think it's really good for my brain, for my mental health. I think walking is really good. Just being out in nature and stuff like that is really useful for me, for sure. So I do try and do some sort of exercise every day. And I've been pretty consistent with that, like I say. The other thing that I try to do every day is rest. I'm not very good at that. I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying. I'm very trying. Yeah, again, that's a cog that has not existed and it's still a very tiny one, but things like getting sleep and, you know, stuff like that. Or it's just, if it's not productive, I struggle. And then things like also seeing family and friends and stuff like that. So I always try and do something every day that is going to help myself. It's the same with like eating well, and I put that in place by doing a lot of meal prep because I know what I'm like. Again, it's friction points. I know that when I'm tired, of which I'm often tired because I overdo it, I want something quick and easy to eat. And because I meal prep and I freeze stuff, the quickest and easiest thing is to grab something from the freezer and just heat it up. It's quicker than ordering out, which is great. It's cheaper than ordering out, which is great. I'm a lover of food, so therefore I don't want to say that I'm good at cooking, but I love food and I love flavor, and I make sure that everything that I make is as good as it can be, and I enjoy my own food. So if anything, I actually often, there's a few exceptions, I often prefer my cooking to take out anyway. So, but again, I've kind of put that in place because I know what I'm like, but it allows me to do that chopping wood, carrying water very easily. And like I say, all these things, you know, they are not glamorous at all, like not even slightly, but they are the things that are going to make the difference. The feathers, they will come and go. They will float by. And like I say, whether they're calls for gigs or recording sessions or going on a tour that seems amazing and, you know, from the outside world, it's like, wow, you're doing a world tour and it's great. And in that moment, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. But the things that actually lead to those feather moments are all those cogs that you've been grinding away at for, well, for me, 25 years at this point. And I know that's, you know, that's the foundation that needs to be strong. That's the foundation that needs to be working well. Those cogs need to be greased every day, and there needs to be balance between, for me, those three kind of areas of my life, at least, the skills, the kind of the practicalities of running a business, having a career, and then actual self-care kind of side of things. Oh, also, I have therapy. That's another really good one. Not daily, but weekly or bi-weekly. And that has been, oh, that's every time I go through bouts of having therapy, it's just life-changing. 300 out of 5 stars, would highly recommend. I use BetterHelp if anyone is at all interested in that. Very good platform for that. So yeah, and then in terms of when I'm feeling not very motivated, or I'm feeling really, really tired or whatever else, or not, maybe I'm feeling great, but I operate very well using rewards for myself. Again, it's just something that I know about myself. So, and I got all these ideas from another book. I told you this was going to be all about books, called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I'm pretty sure that I've kind of cited this book before. I love it. I've read it, I think, 3 times now. It just really works for me. Do you know what I mean? And the whole concept is exactly what I'm talking about. It's kind of these daily habits, these little incremental like shifts and just getting slightly better and slightly better. There's another book called Routine Machine by John Lamerton. Similar concept. It's just like doing these little things every day. But inevitably, there's going to be moments where it's just like, I just don't want to do it. Or, you know, you need some extra motivation. The way that I do that is rewards. Massive on rewards. Huge. I love a reward. And for me, the best kind of rewards are the ones that are happening at the time of actually doing the thing. So it makes it inherently enjoyable. And I've spoken about this before. It's things like when I was working out, before I found boxing, because boxing just inherently I love. So I can't tell you how happy I am with that, because when something is inherently good, I'm just like, oh, this is magical. But when I was working out before, I was doing a lot of calisthenics, which again, it's great workout. I would highly recommend if you want to get into any sort of like fitness. It's great for cardio. It's great. It's body weight exercises essentially. But I would find it so hard to get motivated with that. It's great, and once I'd done it, I would love it, but to actually get into the headspace of doing it, ugh. But my reward would happen at the same time that I was doing it. So that would be listening to podcasts that I really like, or audiobooks, which obviously I love, as I'm sure that you can. By the way, all these books that I cite, I've listened to these books. I haven't been reading them. I'm listening whilst I'm doing stuff. So yeah, that kind of is a really, that is the most effective way for me to do something, is if there's a reward that is happening at the same time. If that doesn't work, then I'll have rewards that actually happen after the fact. So things like nice food. In fact, my stomach is rumbling right now. So, I'm tempted to give myself a reward of lunch before I play drums, but I know that that's not the right thing to do. So I'm going to have to push on through and just play first, and then I will do lunch, and then I'll edit this episode. Oh, my stomach rules my life. It really does. But anyway, this has been a bit of a rambling one, and I apologize for that, but I hope you kind of have a bit of insight into my, the way that I see these sort of daily activities and how important that they are. And like I said, this concept of feathers and cogs that isn't just a stage show. I will say, that for anyone that did actually come and see that show, it was on at the Garage back in, when was it? 2015 is when it was. So 8 years ago. And the concept that was exactly the same, but it wasn't about career stuff or playing necessarily. It was about, at that time I was struggling a lot with depression. I had struggled with depression for a very long time, and it was about the kind of putting on the mask. Those were the feathers, but actually all these cogs inside that were grinding together and just not working, and it was all a bit of a mess, and you know, all that sort of stuff. That was kind of the concept of the show. But actually the finale of the show, where I ended up playing, I was playing drums on stage with a projection either side of me also playing drums. So it was kind of like a triple drummer thing. All three of us, in inverted commas, it was all me, were playing different things. And yeah, anyway, that was kind of this moment of the cogs working for the feathers, if that makes sense. So the mask coming off, it doesn't need to be there anymore. And don't get me wrong, in that moment when I performed it, I was still wearing the mask. I have been for a long time, but in the last year and a half, the mask has come off. And in the last 6 months, oh, the mask has really come off. It's very liberating. It's an interesting journey that I find myself on right now. And just allowing all the, I don't know, being honest with myself and the world and how I'm feeling about stuff. And I'll be honest, this podcast has helped that sort of, it's almost like a safe space for me to be vulnerable with you, because all the people that listen just seem to be so kind and generous and forthcoming with their experiences, and I'm always astounded by the similarities in all of our experiences, not just in music and career and whatever else, but just in life. Everyone's going through stuff all the time. Everyone's got inner monologues going on. Everyone's got insecurities, vulnerabilities, and they present themselves in interesting ways. Yeah, but anyway, I'm just gonna worry about sorting out my cogs over here, and the feathers, if they come, they come. If they don't, that's fine too. I'm trying to inherently enjoy the process of looking after my inner workings, as it were. Anyway, that's enough kind of getting deep with you right now. You know me, I love to get deep. But if you've enjoyed this episode, please do feel free to do what you do best. You know the thing. Just like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to go the extra mile, you can now support this podcast over on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, and then if you want to do any sort of deep dive into me and all the various things that I do in life, you can go to EmilyDrums.com and enjoy that rabbit hole. There's a lot of facets going on. Yeah, there's a lot of things to keep up in the air, but I love it. I love the variety. It's very much my personality. Anyway, I hope you're having a lovely day wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and join me again for another episode next time. All right, lots of love to you. Mwah. I'll see you later. Bye.